Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. And we pray that as we meet and look toward the future with leadership, pray that you would bless us and that you'd guide us. You'd give us a spirit of cooperation and anticipation of what lies ahead for us as a church. We thank you that Christ is the head of the church, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, so two topics to talk to you about this afternoon. Second time preaching. One is going to be a leadership project, and that will take the form of probably a once a month meeting of the men. All men are invited. That would be probably here at the church. And so that's what I'm going to be talking to you about mostly this afternoon. And probably that would start in October. And then the second thing would be a Wednesday night neighborhood Bible study. And we're just kind of changing the way we do Wednesday nights and meeting in neighborhood. And it would also have an element of outreach to it. As well. And that starts earlier. That starts in September. And probably we won't say a whole lot about that one because I'll save it until the all members meeting and then we'll discuss it more there. So a leadership project, and why put a focus on leadership among the men now? One reason is we're at a point in the history of the church where we are in need of help in leadership. And so the elders and the deacons are hoping that some of you will join us in that role of elder and deacon in maybe the near future. We don't want to rush into it, but we're hoping for that. So that's one reason for part of it and for doing something to focus on leadership of the men. But that's not the whole point. There's only a few that will actually serve in those roles of elder and deacon, which is fine. And there's other ways in which biblical leadership is useful to you and to those around you. So you're called to lead your home. You're called to lead your wife. Called to lead in other ways, like at your work. Called to lead in the community around us. So it's the purpose of the leadership project is not just to get some elders and deacons out of it. It's really for everybody to grow in leadership, and it'd be great if at the end of our 1 year program that it was kind of like obvious to everybody who should serve as an elder or deacon and who should serve in other ways at the church. So one reason, but that is part of it, is the elders and the deacons do need help and want some men to step up in that way. Also, I think we're at a point in the world, in our country, where leadership is needed as well in a whole lot of other ways. And so if you don't become an elder and a deacon, I think you can benefit and the people around can benefit from that as well. Okay, I was going to look at this verse to start us off. Paul writing to the Corinthians and kind of signing off at the end of the letter. Be on the alert, stand firm in your faith, act like men, be strong. All that you do must be done in love. And I was reading about the Puritans on my vacation and how they think. And part of it was about how they organize a sermon. So the first part of a Puritan sermon, they try to state the text as briefly as possible without any figures of speech. So, you know, if it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, well, what is the Bible conveying just in straight, plain language? Not about sheep, but what is it saying about sinful men? So I thought I'd ask you about that. What does it mean here when it says act like men? That's a figure of speech, to act like a man. So how would you do that if you had to reduce it to just plain language? What does that mean? What does it mean?
Conviction.
Okay, conviction. Okay, it's different from being a child, giving up childish thing. Somebody say responsibility. I like that one. That's a word I've been thinking about a lot recently.
It may be stated right after.
Okay.
Men.
Which part?
Be strong.
Okay. Be strong. Those are all different words, but yeah, there's a whole clump of being on the alert, standing firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and even at the end, all that you do must be done in love. Anybody else?
Responsibility is two words.
Okay. Responsibility, response,
ability.
And ability. So, you want to elaborate? Okay. Okay.
Willing to make and willing to do.
Okay. Good. So, and I was just going to throw that out. I thought maybe if I had to paraphrase it, I might say be brave. That might be, which is not to say that women can't be brave. Of course they can. We all know that. Right? But it's a quality, and all those qualities, responsibility, are something that's associated with a man. And with being a man. Actually, this is written to men and women. The whole church was supposed to be brave, men and women, but he puts it in that way, having to do with a man. And I liked something I heard recently from Dr. MacArthur that he preached to the at the seminary chapel, where he gave a simple definition of masculinity, and he gave this almost like it was kind of off the cuff. But the willingness and determination to take responsibility to reduce evil and produce good. It's a good definition of what it means to be a man, to take responsibility, to do that. And then he went on to say, to do that in such a way that the people that are following, that you provide a sense of security and safety and a sense of an embrace of love as well, which Paul talks about as well and associates that, making people feel safe and secure and loved as you're leading them and taking on responsibility in that way. So that's the kind of thing we want to grow in for this, that I'll say a little bit more about later. And let me give you a number of Bible verses to consider when you think about taking responsibility. The Bible has a lot to say about the shortness of life. Oh wow, it's going to do this to me. Let me know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. You've made my days like hand widths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Certainly all mankind standing is a mere breath. And so as you think about taking responsibility and standing against evil, producing good, you can only put your strokes in to a certain amount because our time is short. Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. It's in the New Testament as well. Do you not know what your life will be like tomorrow? For you're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So there's much in Scripture about the shortness of life of a man, and also a lot in Scripture about giving to future generations, both Old Testament and New Testament. So this is a good one, Psalm 78. We will not conceal them from their children. We will tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his power and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they were to teach them to their children, so that the generation to come would know, the children yet to be born, that they would arise and tell them to their children. And so there's something that needs to be passed down. We're responsible to pass down to the next generation. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And this is a good one. You've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, God, do not abandon me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are come. So we've been passed the gospel, the word of God, the church, from those who have gone before us and faithfully passed it down. And there's a responsibility in that to keep it going and to pass it to the next generation. Paul himself, when he came to the end of his life, says, I've done that, and it's worth it, and encourages Timothy to do the same. He's being poured out as a drink offering. The time of his departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me in the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will also award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. Same letter where Paul knew his departure time had come, includes this verse, and it's an important one. It's an important one for this whole project. And it's a responsibility of the church. The church is responsible to do this, just like we're responsible to preach the gospel. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul's signing off, telling Timothy what to do. Here in this verse, it's a short verse. You've got four generations that are mentioned. The things you've heard from me, the things you have heard from me, so Paul passed it on. We got two generations already. In the presence of many witnesses who were there for that transition, entrust these to faithful men, that's a third generation, who will be able to teach others also. So that's a fourth generation. There's four generations that are there, and each one is to faithfully pass on the deposit, the gospel, and the work of the church on to the next generation. Okay, so a good framework for promoting biblical leadership among men of the church, one to use is from this book, and it's from XL Ministries, which might be new to you. It was new to me. I think the one who introduced me to it is my uncle, Dwight, and his church in Texas. A lot of the people that are part of this ministry, XL Ministries, they used to be on staff of the church, not all of them, but Rocky Wyatt, I think, is the guy who's the founder of this. And they just have a burden to come alongside churches and help them to be faithful to that mandate to give the deposit to faithful men, teach these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, so to train men. So they've come along with some material to help do that. And I've been pretty impressed by them. I've been impressed that they're responsive. So it's not just giving out curriculum, but they also give some help and advice along the way, which I thought was good. And then I've also just been impressed with little things like their materials are free. So we're going to hopefully order a big number of these books, and we'll put the quantity and they'll be $0. And that's the way we do ministry too at Trinity. So I think that's a good fit. So then they want to work with like-minded churches, but they're not trying, I don't think they're pushing an agenda beyond, you know, they kind of want to fit into what the church is doing and just be a supplemental help, as they can, and certainly with materials. Okay. So what would you be signing on for if you signed on to meet once a month? The book has 10 chapters. And I think it'd be better for us to put it into a year and so meet maybe 12 times, like starting in October, and to take a year. So each lesson has five components to it, and I'd encourage you to get a hold of one of these books. You can come up later and see kind of how much it is. It's doable, I think. It might take you a couple of sittings maybe to go through the questions. It's not like write a paper or anything like that. But let me just tell you kind of what's covered in this. The first section of each lesson is understanding biblical church leadership. So we're kind of going over in scripture just a number of things that deal with ministry, deal with the church, the purpose of the church, that sort of thing. And then there's a section on Bible survey, which goes through the entire Bible. If you're going to lead someone, part of it is knowing. You have to know content, hopefully know more than the people that you're leading. So you need to know the Bible, no matter how you're leading. That's not all of leadership, but that's certainly an important part of it. So actually, the book takes you from Genesis to Revelation. And you go through and kind of memorize like a real simple outline for each book and memorize what the key chapters are and I think like a theme for the thing. So I'll give you an example for what they have for Leviticus and for Numbers. So if I can find it. Yeah. So for Leviticus, they do a two-part outline. The way to God, sacrifice, chapters 1 through 17. The walk with God, sanctification, chapters 18 through 27. The theme of Leviticus is holiness. Key chapters, chapter 10 is Nadab and Abihu. Chapter 16 is the Day of Atonement. Okay, so there's Leviticus. So it'd be to memorize that. At the end of it, you should have the entire Bible, an outline for the entire Bible, and know where the key chapters are. Numbers, the outline, Sinai, chapters 1 through 10. Wilderness, chapters 11 through 25. Plains of Moab, chapter 26 to 36. The theme is wilderness wandering. Key chapters, chapter 13, the journey and return of the 12 spies into Canaan, and chapters 22 to 24, Balaam, Balak, and the talking donkey. So you'd be responsible to learn those things. And probably in our meetings, we could drill each other over that part of it. The Bible survey is also supposed to go along with reading those books of the Bible for each month. And to try to make that more manageable, I think it'd be good to integrate that with what we're already doing with our daily Bible reading calendar. So if we started in October, we wouldn't start with Genesis like it is in the book. We'd start with, I think it's like Isaiah and Ephesians. And so we'd just kind of tackle it in that order just so it doesn't get too unmanageable to help read through scripture. But really it's to read through the entire Bible in a year as well. Okay, and then there's a survey basically of systematic theology, which I think is tied into reading your own church's doctrinal statement and then stating it in your own words as well. And then reading maybe a chapter of a systematic theology. And it's a full survey of systematic theology. So it's a bibliology, study of the Bible, study of theology proper, the study of God, Christology, pneumatology, ecclesiology, anthropology, hamartiology, which is the study of sin, soteriology, and then eschatology, the study of last things. So just kind of a full survey of systematic theology. And then there's a section on spiritual maturity, and those go through really slowly the qualifications for an elder and for a deacon. So like taking one or two at a time and focusing in on those. They're basically character qualities, and asking and seeking growth in those things. And then they have a last section that asks you about spiritual disciplines. And the ones in the book for each one is Bible reading, fellowship, evangelism, prayer, Bible study, service, Bible memory, and Bible meditation. And so just different disciplines for a leader and for that. So it's to study these things with the purpose of not just benefiting yourself, but the purpose of giving to others and giving by way of leading, giving leadership to others wherever that is appropriate. So this is the guy that I've talked to from the ministry. His name is Brian Murphy. And I've met with him because he came to Portland once, and so I've been able to talk with him about this and ask him a little bit about what it's going to be like. He's a good guy. He planted a church in Bakersfield, California, which is where he lives. And he planted it there and then was able to see someone come to salvation there and be discipled at the church and go to seminary and also be trained at the church at the same time to be a pastor. So that young guy is now the pastor of the church, and Brian attends the church, and then I think he's kind of given his full time to XL Ministries. So he's attending there and then ministering there. And then yesterday, Brian was telling me that his son is a missionary, and he's leaving for Papua New Guinea, which is like a really, really, really remote region where they only fly in by helicopter, and he's bringing his young family with kids there. And so they're saying goodbye to them for probably about 5 years. So Brian was saying that probably the number one obstacle to people becoming missionaries is their parents. And, so he knows that. He's really proud of his son, but he says it's hard not to be those parents, you know, to say goodbye to his son. But, he certainly has a heart for, training up pastors and training up missionaries and training up leaders. He's also willing to come out and talk to us for free. Again, I wonder if it'd be good to maybe invite him to do our spring Bible conference. Maybe that'd be a good good opportunity to invite in another speaker. So I asked him what to tell you all, and he said, tell them up front, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to give some effort to this. And I think it's doable. You can come up and look at it. I think it's doable. But he said, shoot straight with them. And then tell them that you love them and you want the best for them in this. And tell them it'll be a year like no other. And by the end of it, it'll be a rewarding thing. So we do love you, the elders, the deacons. We do love you and want to do this together with you as you have an opportunity to do it. So next steps for this part. We'd be proposed to start in October, probably on a weeknight, if that works out for you all, to meet on a weeknight. I had the idea, too, of like supplementing it with a less formal meeting, maybe also maybe in the middle of the month, just kind of encourage each other to keep going with it. So next step would be maybe to take August to just think about it. Think about whether you want to do this year. If it works, if it fits for you, I'd encourage you to do it. I'll send you an email, and you can respond to the email if there's something you'd like to do, and then we'll order a book for you for free. You know, so it's but we do want to know how many to order. So that would be the next step for that. And I'll take questions on that. But I thought I'd just cover the other ministry as well, and not very much in depth because I'm going to save my fire and. Our all members meeting with the women as well. I'll get more into the Wednesday night change that's going to come up in the fall. Yeah, so let me know by the beginning of September. Yeah, okay. Okay, and then, so the Wednesday night neighborhood Bible study, a lot of it's going to be the same as we normally do, you know, like the normal Wednesday night discussion booklets. That we do a different thing will be that it'll meet in homes instead of meeting at the church. It's not a huge change. In fact, we've done that before at Trinity. We can have as many as we have interest in a group for. It's kind of looking, based on talking to some people, like we might just start out with two, one south of the river and one north of the river. Start there. Probably best to start kind of gradually. More to it, and it's also going to involve an element of outreach, and that can start gradually as well. Be great if there are a few people at each of these, you know, neighbors and that sort of thing, friends to invite, to expose to Bible study. But what I wanted to say to you all is that this ministry does need leadership. As in, we don't have enough leadership right now for it. So if you're interested in helping in this, what it needs is discussion leaders and maybe a team of men to share the load of leading the discussion. And I think it would be a good kind of outlet to what we're learning, you know, to learn principles of leadership, learn scripture, have something to give, and then also to be giving it to others as well. And so this is a good outlet maybe to stretch a little bit. So for that one, next steps would be, there's going to be a lunch like this one in 2 weeks' time. We'll talk more about it. But let me know as soon as possible if you're willing to help by being a discussion leader on Wednesday nights for one of those meetings. That's it. Okay. Any questions or comments? Rick?
So the things north and south of the river, you're saying I'm going to start there. Now, are you talking about one group on either side?
Yeah.
To start with? And what will the groups be comprised of?
Just anybody who wants to participate on Wednesday nights. So one for Oregonians and one for Washingtonians.
So meet in one person's in one couple's home or one person's home. And then there'll be seems like there could be quite a few people in.
Yeah, I hope so. So the one on this side of the river will meet at my place, and that one probably needs less help for discussion leaders for sharing that, and that one will just stay at that place probably. And then the one north of the river, some people are already talking about kind of sharing it, maybe moving it every month or something like that to different host homes. But it would also need like discussion leaders as well.
So will those leave after a while? Will they?
Yeah, it'd be great if we were like bursting at the seams, and then hey, let's divide up further. That'd be great. We could have as many as no limit to how many, I guess.
So the neighbors that would be coming from the people that, or you would bring them from your neighborhood to that one.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, it'd be great to have a presence in the neighborhood. If people could walk next door, that'd be great. But also, you know, you could invite friends and have a hopefully a shorter drive than a drive to the church and involve people in that way as well.
So are these church meetings or neighborhood meetings?
They're church meetings. It's something that the elders are overseeing and connected to the church, but they should have also a little bit of autonomy to, you know, say, okay, well, this night's busy for the group, so let's meet on Thursday night. You know, that's okay, stuff like that. They should be a little bit autonomous, but not too autonomous. We want to still be doing the same thing, still be doing a Bible study that's for the church. So,
is the discussion format, do you see that being the same as we've traditionally done, or
it needs to be a Bible study. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're teaching the Bible, but I think that could also be adaptable and fit. The study, there's different ways of doing discussion, and each leader has his own style. Each group might have their own style of the way they want to participate. It's supposed to be a discussion, so I think that can be somewhat flexible. It's going to be covering the Bible and teaching the Bible and also having a time of prayer.
So using the Sunday school curriculum like we use on Sunday?
Yeah, it still will be connected with what we're doing it on Sunday morning, Sunday school. So the next thing that we're going to do is the Gospel of John. We thought that'd be the easiest one to tackle and the most applicable to any sort of evangelism emphasis, since that's the purpose of the Gospel of John. So we thought we'd make it easy on ourselves, especially as leaders are kind of getting used to a new format, for teaching. And then, for the spring, it would be First and Second Kings. That might be a little more of a challenge, but maybe we'll be up for it by then to relate that to evangelism and the gospel. Any other questions?
How will you select the leaders?
How will select the leaders?
Leader or the Bible teacher or
what's that?
Yeah, whoever's going to lead the Bible study.
So each group does need one leader, one man to be the responsible one to the. And I'll do the one in Portland, but there does need to be one person in charge. So we'll get there. And then a team of leaders. If people volunteer for it, be willing to try it out and see if it's a good fit for you to help teach. And I think you all are all capable of helping in that way. So we need to think about how to do Zoom, whether that's going to be a included in this or even there's several ways that we could do it. We could have a Zoom group that meets also as one of the groups, or we could include the Zoom component in one of the groups. So I think we're kind of undecided on that so far, but it's kind of a something to think about and maybe get some feedback on as well. But we kind of want to encourage as much as we can people to gather, you know, in a home environment. So, any other questions, comments? Any of the elders want to, or deacons, say anything? Or okay, good. Feel free to ask any more or email me, and I'll send you a kind of a summary email of this meeting as well. So.
I guess I have one question. I suppose it's more philosophical. And I don't have as much history with Trinity as some others are saying, but it seems like historically it's been the leadership asking and selecting people. Mm-hmm. And this seems to be going the other way, having people volunteer. So I'm just wondering about that change, and I know that there's some people that just aren't willing to volunteer themselves, and yet maybe they should still be involved. So.
Yeah, it should be. It's both. I mean, it's volunteering, and then the leader's overseeing it. So it's just sort of a process, just a little bit open ended. So I don't think it's a big change from what's been done before.
Are we still going to have the monthly Friday Bible study?
Monthly. Clark and Kelly's group. Yeah, we're planning on that second Friday Bible study at Clark and Kelly's home. Yeah, that's a great ministry, and that's kind of unrelated to the Wednesday night and also to the leadership meetings as well. Good question. I've already talked to Clark and Kelly. They're ready to go for next year. That's been a good ministry. Continues to be. All right, why don't I close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for the ministry of the church. We thank you that each of us is responsible and has the privilege of serving in the church. We pray that you would advance your church in the coming days, and we ask you to bless these endeavors. We ask you to teach us as we go, and we ask you to help us to be a light in the place where you've called us to be. We pray that these preparations, both for taking on responsibility in leadership wherever you've called us, and also for this Wednesday night groups that has an element of outreach, would be a blessing to others outside this room, and even a blessing to those who are lost in sin and in need of a Savior. And so we pray that you'd use this to draw us together, to move us forward, and to cause us to be a light for Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.